seven evil spirits from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. And we've covered some of these spirits. We're doing the Amalekites, which is extremely important. They're extremely evil ones. We've done so much work here. Don't worry, if you miss any part of the series, we're going to have it up on, and that's a good sign, up on the major website. All right, just if you don't know how to get there, go down, look where it says a box, it says find out more about Grace Point, hit that, it'll take you to our major website that we just redone. Go over where it says Radio Archives, and then it has a lot of information, a lot of ministry there. All you have to do is just find the series you want to listen to. It's on demand. Hit the button, and you can listen to it all the way through. So if you miss anything and like to hear a particular area, just it'll be up on the site. We just went live on this site less than a week ago, so we're trying to get everything perfectly done and complete, and it's good enough to be on the air. It's 100% right, but it doesn't have everything up as far as we're doing because everything changes so much. Everything changes so much. So that's where we are, and that's what we're doing, okay? All right. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2 is the major scripture. These are seven cultures or seven countries at the time that lived, and they're all gone, basically, but the spirit is not. And don't forget, the first one on the list, the Hittites, are the ones that owned Israel, according to Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. They invaded the land of the Hittite, took it under God's command, and that's what you're seeing in the world today. The Hittite spirit is trying to get the land back, and that's what's going on. We've been looking at the Amorites and the Jebusites. The Amorites are extremely, extremely influential in the Word of God. Their king is mentioned 23 times, and the other kings and the other sites are mentioned about maybe 3, 2, 1, something like that. Look at this. We've been looking at the tremendous denial of Simon Peter, and we've been looking at it through the eyes of the Amalekite spirit and through the eyes of the Jebusites. The denial was wrapped up in Jebusite and Amorite activity. It's just wrapped up in it, wrapped up with it. Also, the Gershites as well, and we're down to the third denial. It's found in John 18:27. John 18:27. And I want you to look up at verse number 26, because that's important coming up here. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see thee in the garden with him?" The kinsman of the high priest, was the most corrupt, absolute office in Israel. It was corrupt as can be. It was purchased by money, not by anointing, not by God laying a hand on somebody. It was bought and sold. And this high priest was as sold out to Rome as can be, because his father had purchased it for him, and his father was the high priest prior to this, but he did not give up his high priest job. He did not retire. So in this passage, what's going on when Jesus was involved in the crucifixion, there's two high priests. How do you know? Verse 28, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the one that was the high priest number two, and the first one was Annas, okay? That was his dad. Absolutely true. Now, we get down to where Simon Peter has got into the inner court, and the inner court, this is not a big palace. It's a courtyard, all right? And Think of this. Think of a horseshoe, you know, 1, 2, 3, courtyard in the middle with a gate, all right? Inside the gate was people that were able to go in there. Simon Peter got in there, and because he did, he was set up by these spirits and also what Jesus prophesied to deny him. All right, now, again, verse 26, one of the servants of the high priest being his kinsman. Whose kinsman? The high priest's kinsman, Caiaphas. Caiaphas is operating under the spirit of what? The Amorites. Absolutely. And then the man that smacks Jesus operating under the spirit of the Jebusites. All right? Now, let's look at verse 27. Then, look at this. Peter then denied again and immediately the cock crew. All right. Now, he's in the garden. He's outside in the garden. The garden is earthly. The spirit that puts earthly thoughts is the Gershonite spirit. We talked about that in detail. Again, you can learn about all of these when they're up online for you. Now, these Gershites were earthly. So here is Simon Peter again. Immediately he denies, and immediately the cock crows. Now, these spirits are very strong and powerful. They still are, by the way. Well, somebody said they're defeated. All right, they are, but they sure active. Take a look what's going on in the Mideast. Take a look at what's going on in Israel. The Hamas spirit is absolutely Amorite. Absolutely. Because the Amorites were the first group of people that attacked Israel when they crossed into the wilderness, like when they went across the Red Sea right into where they were going, right? Bang, they're the first one. And they're the ones that Israel had the most trouble with. Now, okay, so here's that happens there. Now, let's look at, with these spirits, look at Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Now, we have to pull in a lot of information here from the different sources. For instance, Jesus ran right into the Gershonite spirit when he went to the area called, you know, Gedalia. That was a Gershonite spirit. Now, look at this. And it came to pass, this is Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen got out of them and were washing their nets. 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down, taught the people out of the ship. 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the net. So there's a time between verse 4 and verse 5. Because in verse 4, he says, let's go out. All right, go out. And then what happens was they don't catch anything. All right, they're out there. Here's 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes that the net break. 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And when they came, they filled both the ships so that they began to sink. I have a message called Beginning to Sink. Number 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And for he was astonished, and all they that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. 11. And when they brought in their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, All right? You say, what about this? Now, I want you to see this, the evangelism here, the evangelistic anointing. Simon Peter now has an assignment to do. Obey the assignments God gives you. Obey what God tells you to do. Obey the assignment. He did, caught more fish than he ever caught in his life. And now he's fishers of men. Now see, when you look at this, they into their life came the spirit of serving. They were serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. But what happened was, when Simon Peter was in the inner courtyard and he was accused of being with Jesus, the spiritual authority came out of him. He just left all that and denied the Lord. Now, in John 18:10, let's go back there and see what happens again, because I want you to see something that's really, really interesting. John 18:10, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it. This is famous, right? And smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. But actually, it was not only the high priest's servant who operates under the spirit of the Amalekites, but it was a relative. The right ear, off it goes. Off it goes. Simon Peter was just a bad swordsman. Now, let's think about the ear here. The ear is hearing. And the concept there is obeying someone's orders. Obeying someone's orders. That's what hearing's about. Obey the instruction. Obey the instruction. Now, God's servants listen to orders. God's servants listen to orders. All right? Now, look at Isaiah chapter 51, verse 4. All right? Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for the law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. You see what's happening? Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me. Listen. The last thing that leaves is hearing. The doctors say, the medical people say, that the first thing happens, a baby can hear. They recognize sounds. That's why a little infant, if you slam a door, the infant will jump. And the baby will recognize the mother's voice. First thing that happens, the baby's just born laying on the stomach of the mother. The mother says something, and that baby hears it. And that baby remembers the sound of the mother's voice the rest of their lives. And that's the hearing. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter number 5, verse 1, and Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep them and do them. Or simply listen to the instructions. Listen to the instructions. What God says to you. Now, the enemy, these spirits want you to begin to listen to other voices. The Amorites are experts. That spirit is expert to get you to listen where you should not be listening. Should not be listening. You should begin to listen to other things. That's what happens. People begin to listen to other voices. They don't listen to God anymore. Now, look at this. This is an interesting passage in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Check that, Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 12. This is interesting. This is dealing with masters and slaves. All right? And if my brother, a Hebrew man, look at this, or a Hebrew woman be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. That's Jubilee time. Jubilee restores, and it's a double-fold blessing. It restores and sets free. That's what Jubilee is about. All right. Now, number 13. And when thou sendeth him out free from thee, look at this, thou shalt not let him go away empty. There's the blessing. You see, it restores, Jubilee restores, restores, and sets free. So now the man is free, and he restores. He gets something back. All right, 14. And thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock. Look at this. And out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress, of that wherein the Lord thy God has blessed thee, thou shalt give it unto him. That's what Jubilee does. Jubilee releases, and it also blesses. Sets free, and then look at this situation. Out of the flock, the floor is the grain and a wine press. So what happened? As God blessed, Jubilee came, seventh year, they were set free, and they got a whole lot of stuff. Now 15, look at this, 15. And thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. Okay, remember what had happened to you. Verse 16. And it shall be, if they say unto thee, I will not go away from thee. All right, so what happens is that the slave loves the master. He just loves the master. He no longer became a slave. He was doing it, and then there's an affection developed. Look at this. Look at this. And it shall be, if you say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thy house, because he is well with thee. Some of these slaves were kept like family. They became family members. They treat him just like they would a family member. And just like the family, they became one of the family, is what they did. Now, that was a smart individual that, instead of rebelling against the owner, they simply became part of the family and got blessed. Hey, what a spiritual thought here. What a spiritual thought here. Instead of rebelling against God, become part of the family and get blessed. Wow. Wow. I'm going to say that again. Instead of rebelling against God, instead of rebelling against God, become part of the family and get blessed. Wow, never said that before. That was an anointed moment. I'm going to write that down so I can remember it. Pardon me while I do that. Because that'll go up into the system. Pardon me while I do that, okay? All right, almost got it. See, a lot of people, they just rebel against the Lord. Instead of rebelling against God, become a family member and get blessed. Now, that's what happens here. Here's what happens when the individual says, oh, yeah, I think I'll stay with you. I'm going to make it known I will stay with you. All right. Now, verse 17. Then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever, and also unto thy hand maid servant thou shalt do likewise. Now, they said, It's a sign of ownership. 18. And it shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away from thee, free from thee, for thou hast been worth a double hired servant to thee in serving thee 6 years. Notice this. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thou doest. All thou doest. Now, let's go back to Simon Peter. Simon Peter tries to cut the head, miss the head, and cuts off his right ear. Zoop. Now, the Amalekite spirit, all right, the spirit operates in lordship. That's what the Amalekite wants to do. It's a spirit. Every time you read about the Amalekite king, he's always controlling something. He's always controlling somebody. He's always controlling somewhere. Now, Jesus restores the ear. Okay? And sends this man forth and sends him back home. It was the sign to Simon. Simon, that's the wrong way to do things. That's why Jesus restored the man's ear. It was a sign. That's not what you do. Because cutting off the ear is a sign and signal of hearing. If you cut off the man's hearing, he won't be able to hear the words of life. If you do that, he won't be able to hear the words of life. He just won't be. He just won't be. Now look at Psalm 110. Psalm 110, verse 1 through 7. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. All right, 2. The Lord shall send the rod of strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. People shall be willing in the day of power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of youth. Look at this. 4. The Lord has sworn, all will not repent. Thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. 7. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike the kings in the day of his wrath. By the way, that's coming. 6. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore, he shall lift up his head. Righteousness. See, righteousness prevails. But right ear. The right ear is an indication of people who do not listen to authority. They just won't. You ever meet anybody like that? You ever meet anybody that just won't listen to authority no matter what? They don't listen to their bosses. They don't listen to anybody. They're all, I will not listen. They get mad at the officers. They just won't listen to instructions. They don't listen to their doctors. They don't listen to anybody. They're a self-made individual. Let me just throw this out to you. To be a self-made individual, you have to be king. And to be king, you have to provide everything and protect. That's what kings do. They provide and they protect, which simply means you have to provide everything that you could ever use and your family could ever use. You got to provide everything from a shirt on their back to the food on their table without anybody's help because kings are sovereign. Kings are sovereign, their word goes. And then you got to protect them all the time. Kings provide and protect. And if you don't do that, then you're not a king and you're not a self-made person. You can't go to doctors. You can't talk to anybody. You got to totally be sovereign. You know anybody like that? I don't either. Only the Lord, right? He's sovereign. He doesn't need anybody. He's God right by himself. See, now, Jesus is under the order of Melchizedek. Under the order of Melchizedek. Now, the Amorite spirit, right? The Amorite spirit Now, here's what's going on. Annas, his son was Caiaphas, and Aaron, that's the Aaron line, right? Now, Melchizedek came out of nowhere. He was invisible. He just shows up with Abraham. You see, and what happens here in this spirit, look what happens in verse 5, Psalm 110. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. That's striking down earthly kings. Melchizedek was in a position, was he not? Melchizedek's name means king. It's a position of spiritual kings. Name of the kings. And the Amorite spirit hates that. They hate that. That's why Christians are being persecuted and churches are being attacked. Why? Because they hate the Lord and they want to be king. And the churches and the Christians are symbols that they're not king, somebody else is. So they persecute the churches and persecutes the kings, right? Child of God, join heir with Jesus. And by doing that, they're saying, the Amorite spirit says, I am the one on the mountain and you're not. Have you seen that lately? Huh? Have you seen that lately? Think about it. Think about it indeed. More next time.